Captain Kirk gives up on GM.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Corporate raider Kirk Kerkorian has dumped the last of his stock in General Motors. The Wall Street Journal says he sold the final 28 million shares yesterday. Kerkorian was GM's largest stockholder just a week ago when he started his sell-off. For the past 2 years, he's been agitating for changes at GM. This is a clear sign Kerkorian's fed up with CEO Rick Wagner's turnaround plan. A deal to watch in the software business. Intuit makes tax and budgeting software. It's buying Digital Insight, which provides online banking services. From North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin has more.
Intuit's best known for helping customers navigate IRS returns with its TurboTax software. Now that it's purchased Digital Insight, it'll also offer services to regional and community banks. Bronto Software CEO Joe Colopy says the acquisition could help Intuit leapfrog over H&R Block and other competitors.
If Intuit's already strong with the consumers and Digital Insight's strong with the banks, by having both of them together in one entity, you make it very difficult for other competitors to kind of jump in there.
Colopy says the Digital Insight acquisition makes sense for Intuit now that software is increasingly delivered over the web. Digital Insight will also provide Intuit with a steadier income stream. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
It seems no public company is immune to the sirens of private equity. Home Depot is the latest target. Two firms, Kohlberg Kravis Roberts and Texas Pacific Group, are reportedly considering a bid of $100 billion. That would be the biggest leveraged buyout ever. Home Depot's been struggling as a public company. Its stock has fallen 15% in the last 2 years. It's World AIDS Day. Former President Clinton observed the day in India. India is home to the world's largest HIV-positive population. Miranda Kennedy reports from New Delhi.
More than 5 million people in India are infected with HIV, but only 10% of them are being treated for it. Low-cost versions of antiretroviral drugs for AIDS patients have been available for years, but governments in many countries, including India, still can't afford them. Bill Clinton traveled to a hospital in New Delhi to announce that his foundation has negotiated a way to lower the price of AIDS drugs for children.
The increased demand for pediatric medicine has enabled us to work with the pharmaceutical companies to further reduce the cost of the medicine. We have negotiated a reduction in the annual cost to treat a child to less than $60 a year, a cut of more than two-thirds.
Clinton's foundation will work with governments on a $50 million program to get 100,000 children on anti-AIDS drugs by the end of next year. Over 10,000 of them will be kids in India. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Little movement on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow fell 4 points to 12,221. The Nasdaq dropped less than a point to 2431. The S&P 500 was up a point to 1400. Today, oil prices fell back below $63 a barrel. You're listening to Marketplace. For a look back at this week in business history, we open the Marketplace Vault. I think you'll remember this one.
Back in 2000, Enron was fast climbing the ranks of the Fortune 500. The Texas-based energy trading company had about 20,000 employees and claimed annual revenues of more than $110 billion. But the company's stock began to slide, dropping from more than $90 a share to about 26 cents a share in just 4 months. Then, this week back in 2001, Enron filed for bankruptcy, kicking off one of the biggest scandals in U.S. corporate history. By the end of the year, investors had lost billions, and many employees saw their pensions dry up completely. Turns out, Enron had been using decoy companies to hide billions in debt. Enron itself still exists. It emerged from bankruptcy in 2004 and is in the process of liquidating its remaining assets. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success. SHRM.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Tomorrow, Cuba celebrates the 50th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution. December 2nd, 1956 was the day Fidel Castro landed on Cuba's eastern shore in a yacht named the Grandma. You may not be aware of this, but 2006 has been a year of revolution in Cuba, a very different kind of revolution. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch explains.
Jorge Piñon was watching Cuban TV earlier this year. President Fidel Castro appeared on screen with a Chinese-made pressure cooker.
And on national television, he was telling people how many cups of rice you had to put to how many cups of water and how you had to cook the rice so it won't be sticky, so it'll be fluffy. I mean, it was extremely bizarre. Again, I'm talking about a head of state telling us how to cook rice.
Piñon's a Cuba expert at the University of Miami. He says there's a method to this madness. Castro calls it
El Año de la Revolución Energética. That means the year of the energy revolution.
Castro's on a kick to save energy. Pressure cookers use less power than the stovetop. But the revolution doesn't stop there. Castro's importing energy-efficient fridges, TVs, and air conditioners from China, and he's recruited battalions of students to go house to house installing fluorescent bulbs. Kirby Jones is president of the U.S.-Cuba Trade Association. He says this fits into a pattern.
He does get a bee in his bonnet, and he gets on certain kicks, and he goes after them personally, and through his leadership, the country follows suit.
In 1970, Castro mobilized the entire country to grow 10 million tons of sugar. He even took to the cane fields himself. That didn't work. Then in 1982, a Cuban cow, La Ubre Blanca, produced 241 pounds of milk on a single day, a Guinness World Record. But attempts to breed other super cows went sour. Castro's latest kick is to solve Cuba's problem with rolling blackouts. But Jorge Piñon says Cuba doesn't have the money to repair or replace its decaying power plants. So Castro came up with another solution.
He has bought about $800 million worth. I repeat the number again, $800 million worth of small generators.
Piñon has a nickname for this do-it-yourself approach.
The Home Depot strategy, and that is where he has bought thousands of small generators and distributed those generators across the country to bakeries, pharmacies, schools, hotels, so that in the event that the major power plants come down during the blackouts, all of these businesses can function and will turn on their generators.
While this Band-Aid approach draws ridicule, another front of Castro's energy revolution has the U.S. worried. Cuba has up to 9 billion barrels of oil off its coast. Firms from Venezuela and China are drilling wells, but the U.S. is shut out. From Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.